Chapter 28. Taking off his worn shoes and gaiters, and still continuing when he had laid aside his coat and cravat, became at length a strong provocative to curiosity, and incentive to get a glimpse of the sleeper's face. The waking traveler, therefore, stole a little nearer, and yet a little nearer, and a little nearer to the sleeping traveler's bed, until he stood close beside it. Even then he could not see his face, for he had drawn the sheet over it. The regular breathing still continuing, he put his smooth white hand, such a treacherous hand it looked, as it went creeping from him, to the sheet, and gently lifted it away. Death of my soul! ' he whispered, falling back, here's Cavalletto. ' the little Italian, previously influenced in his sleep, perhaps, by the stealthy presence at his bedside, stopped in his regular breathing, and with a long deep respiration opened his eyes. At first they were not awake, though open. He lay for some seconds looking placidly at his old prison companion, and then, all at once, with a cry of surprise and alarm, sprang out of bed. Hush! What's the matter? Keep quiet! It's one! You know me? Cried the other, in a suppressed voice. But John Baptist, widely staring, muttering a number of invocations and ejaculations, tremblingly backing into a corner, slipping on his trousers, and tying his coat by the two sleeves round his neck, manifested an unmistakable desire to escape by the door, rather than renew the acquaintance. Seeing this, his old prison comrade fell back upon the door, and set his shoulders against it. Cavalletto! Wake, boy! Rub your eyes, and look at me! Not the name you used to call me, don't use that Lanier, say Lanier. John Baptist, staring at him with eyes open to their utmost width, made a number of those national, backhanded shakes of the right forefinger in the air, as if he were resolved on negativing beforehand everything that the other could possibly advance during the whole term of his life. Cavalletto, give me your hand. You know Lanier, the gentleman. Touch the hand of a gentleman. Submitting himself to the old tone of condescending authority, John Baptist, not at all steady on his legs as yet, advanced and put his hand in his patron's. Monsieur Lanier laughed, and having given it a squeeze, tossed it up, and let it go. Then you were faltered John Baptist. Not shaved? No. See here. Cried Lanier, giving his head a twirl, as tight on as your own. John Baptist, with a slight shiver, looked all round the room, as if to recall where he was. His patron took that opportunity of turning the key in the door, and then sat down upon his bed. Look! He said, holding up his shoes and gaiters. That's a poor trim for a gentleman, you'll say. No matter, you shall see how soon I'll mend it. Come and sit down. Take your old place. John Baptist, looking anything but reassured, sat down on the floor at the bedside, keeping his eyes upon his patron all the time. That's well. Cried Lanier. Now we might be in the old infernal hole again, hey? How long have you been out? 2 days after you, my master. How do you come here? I was cautioned not to stay there, and so I left the town at once, and since then I have changed about. I have been doing odds and ends at Avignon, at Pontesprit, at Lyons, upon the Rhone, upon the Seine. As he spoke, he rapidly mapped the places out with his sunburnt hand upon the floor. And where are you going? Going, my master? John Baptist seemed to desire to evade the question without knowing how. By Bacchus. He said at last, as if he were forced to the admission, I have sometimes had a thought of going to Paris, and perhaps to England. Cavalletto. This is in confidence. I also am going to Paris and perhaps to England. We'll go together. Apostrophe, the little man nodded his head and showed his teeth, and yet seemed not quite convinced that it was a surpassingly desirable arrangement. We'll go together, apostrophe repeated Lanier. You shall see how soon I will force myself to be recognized as a gentleman, and you shall profit by it. It is agreed? Are we one? Apostrophe, oh, surely, surely. Apostrophe, apostrophe said the little man. Then you shall hear, before I sleep, and in six words, for I want sleep, how I appear before you, I, Lanier. Remember that. Not the other. Apostrophe, altro, altro. Not dry apostrophe before John Baptist could finish the name, his comrade had got his hand under his chin, and fiercely shut up his mouth. Death. What are you doing? Do you want me to be trampled upon and stoned? Do you want to be trampled upon and stoned? You would be. You don't imagine that they would set upon me and let my prison chum go? Don't think it. Apostrophe, there was an expression in his face as he released his grip of his friend's jaw, from which his friend inferred that, if the course of events really came to any stoning and trampling, Monsieur Lanier would so distinguish him with his notice as to ensure his having his full share of it. He remembered what a cosmopolitan gentleman Monsieur Lanier was, and how few weak distinctions he made. I am a man, apostrophe said Monsieur Lanier, whom society has deeply wronged since you last saw me. You know that I am sensitive and brave, and that it is my character to govern. How has society respected those qualities in me? I have been shrieked at through the streets. I have been guarded through the streets against men, and especially women, running at me armed with any weapons they could lay their hands on. I have lain in prison for security, with the place of my confinement kept a secret, lest I should be torn out of it, and felled by 100 blows. I have been carted out of Marseille in the dead of night, and carried leagues away from it packed in straw. It has not been safe for me to go near my house, and, with a beggar's pittance in my pocket, I have walked through vile mud and weather ever since, until my feet are crippled. Look at them. Such are the humiliations that society has inflicted upon me, possessing the qualities I have mentioned, and which you know me to possess. But society shall pay for it. Apostrophe, all this, he said in his companion's ear, and with his hand before his lips. Even here, apostrophe, he went on in the same way, even in this mean drinking shop, society pursues me. Madame defames me, and her guests defame me. I too, a gentleman with manners and accomplishments to strike them dead. But the wrongs society has heaped upon me are treasured in this breast. Apostrophe, to all of which John Baptist, listening attentively to the suppressed hoarse voice, said from time to time, surely, surely. Apostrophe, apostrophe, tossing his head and shutting his eyes, as if there were the clearest case against society that perfect candor could make out. Put my shoes there, apostrophe continued Lanier. Hang my cloak to dry there by the door. Take my hat. Apostrophe, he obeyed each instruction, as it was given. And this is the bed to which society consigns me, is it? Ha! Very well. Apostrophe, as he stretched out his length upon it, with a ragged handkerchief bound round his wicked head, and only his wicked head showing above the bedclothes. John Baptist was rather strongly reminded of what had so very nearly happened to prevent the mustache from any more going up as it did, and the nose from any more coming down as it did. Shaken out of destiny's dice box again into your company, eh? By heaven! So much the better for you. You'll profit by it. I shall need a long rest. Let me sleep in the morning. Apostrophe, John Baptist replied, that he should sleep, as long as he would, and wishing him a happy night, put out the candle. One might have supposed that the next proceeding of the Italian would have been to undress, but he did exactly the reverse, and dressed himself from head to foot, saving his shoes. When he had so done, he lay down upon his bed with some of its coverings over him, and his coat still tied round his neck, to get through the night. When he started up, the Godfather break of day was peeping at its namesake. He rose, took his shoes in his hand, turned the key in the door with great caution, and crept downstairs. Nothing was astir there, but the smell of coffee, wine, tobacco, and syrups, and Madame's little counter looked ghastly enough. But he had paid Madame his little note at it overnight, and wanted to see nobody, wanted nothing but to get on his shoes and his knapsack, open the door, and run away. He prospered in his object. No movement or voice was heard when he opened the door. No wicked head tied up in a ragged handkerchief looked out of the upper window. When the sun had raised his full disk above the flat line of the horizon, and was striking fire out of the long muddy vista of paved road with its weary avenue of little trees, a black speck moved along the road, and splashed among the flaming pools of rainwater, which black speck was John Baptist Cavaletto running away from his patron. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.